Once upon a digital time, a small group of South Dakota tech enthusiasts turned on their microphones to answer your questions. Your questions, it turned out, said a lot about American culture. From SDPB, this is In the Moment. Coming up this hour, SDPB's tech radio was like car talk, but for your printer, your VCR, your first gaming console. The tech radio guys answered questions about gadgets, innovation, and the future. From the rise of smartphones and streaming to the ethics of AI, the team has explored it all with curiosity, creativity, and a bit of friendly debate along the way. Today, we take a look back. We will revisit big tech moments that changed the world, the predictions that didn't always come to be, and the hosts who helped make sense of it all. We'll also look ahead to a new era of tech support. We're broadcasting today from SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls. I'm Lori Walsh. You're in the moment. News is first. You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking tech today, specifically tech support. Now, before devices were designed to be intuitive, before you could speak into your smartphone to a chatbot who would, in theory, help solve your latest technology woe, before all that, people had an awful lot of questions about how to fix their printers and program their VCRs. And that is where SDPB's tech radio came in. Today, we're going to look back at the evolution of those on-air conversations where the power of educational public radio was paired with a group of experts willing to pick up the phone on live radio and just figure things out. The evolution of a show mirrors the evolution of an industry and maybe even of American tech culture. Our guests today, a few of the original and early tech radio guys. Amos Aesop is Chief Security Officer at Exigent Solutions in Sioux Falls. Jeff Litterick is a network and security architect for the state of South Dakota. Kent Osborne is Director of Digital at SDPB. John T. Meyer is an entrepreneur and also Executive Director of Leadership South Dakota. Here's my conversation with Amos, Jeff, Kent, and John. We're going to start with Kent Osborne, down reaching you in Vermilion. We're connected here. And tell us about the the inciting incident of SDPB's tech radio. Take me back. How many years are we going back?
Well, the earliest I can prove is November of 99.
Wow.
There was a Dakota Midday host named Tim Post that invited myself as kind of the web person. And then we had John Belofi at the time was one of the techs that ran around and fixed things in engineering. He was a great computer guy. And we'd always bring on some extra people over the years. That panel kind of evolved, but mainly it was a noon call-in show about technology. Anybody could ask anything they wanted to, and because there wasn't a lot really going on other than, you know, people were just still trying to learn what a computer was and why isn't my printer working. Mostly it's the drivers, and then we'd have to explain how to get the printer drivers and how to install those. And, you know, it was probably a lot of really long, boring radio. My mom listened every time we were on, you know. She got to hear my voice, but we'd always talk on the phone, and she said, "I didn't understand a thing you were talking about." And but that was, I mean, that was the inception back in the day. And then it sort of evolved into more of a talk show kind of a thing.
All right. So what was your job at SDPB then?
I was like the web guy, webmaster, eventually online services when we started adding streaming and other things over the years. I've been here a long time, Lori.
What kind of show was Dakota Midday then? Because I'm sorry to report, I've never heard of Tim Post.
It was... I mean, man, you're taking me back a long way here. Yeah. It was a variety kind of show that
magazine,
talked about,
yeah,
magazine show, and hosted and call. It was a call in, but different guests.
So then, when did it become like an ongoing thing?
I think it was when Joe Telestis was director of radio here.
Okay.
I think he asked us to be on, and we were on. There was a Science and Technology Friday.
Right.
That was every Friday, and we had the opposing Friday, so we were on like the first and third Fridays of every month.
Right.
And it was just like, here's this hour, you know, do it. assembled this team. We had a Mac guy early on, like early on. And I think he left Mac Pros in Sioux Falls, and this guy named Joel Brovelite, this trombone playing, you know, Mac guru, graphic artist guy, came on the show and added a lot of color, you know. And we, you know, I think through our connections with SDN Communications, we found Amos. Yeah, and Jeff Litterick, of course, with BIT, because I knew him through the state.
Okay.
And he was the security, hardware kind of a guy. I was the gaming, kind of fun side of things, but also some web. Joel was the Mac guy, and Amos was just, you know, he just knew everything about technology. And he was a first adopter. Amos bought everything that came out, just as soon as he could possibly get his hands on it. It was a eclectic mix of people. Brought in John T. Meyer eventually. I'm not sure how that came together, John.
John, do you remember?
I do remember. I think in 2009 or 10, I had gone to South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
I remember Kent had said, why don't you come down to SDN, because we would record in one of their little conference rooms. And that was all in person. We all were in person, and we'd come
live.
Well, I guess except Jeff. Jeff
was live.
Live in person.
Jeff was
except
in Pier.
For Jeff.
Yep.
Connecting
and,
from Pier.
Kent was like, why don't you come give a download of what you saw at South by Southwest. And so this is the advent. I kind of came in like the social media era
when
a lot of SaaS software started emerging, and we were all moving mobile phones and the iPhone. And so I kind of came in that lens.
Let's go back to 1999, Kent, because I'm thinking Y2K, you had some questions about
it. Had to be like a Y2K episode, right?
John T. is wondering about that, and now so am I.
That was probably the start of just getting people used to backing things up. Because a lot of our stuff, people like, all my photos are gone. What happened? And we're like, well, you could send it to a recovery service and maybe they'll get it back from you, or there's software that could possibly go back and get deleted stuff if you were just kind of a bonehead and deleted your stuff and didn't really realize it. There were ways of getting those photos back, and I think there still are. But we were just trying to get people into good habits back then about backing stuff up. And that was a core thing for years with us. Going places on the internet you shouldn't be. I listened to a show today. Jeff Litterick was kind of going on about browser vulnerabilities. And Joel said there will always be browser vulnerabilities. And I don't think we talk about or hear about very many of those anymore. But people were going to bad portions of the internet, or they just unknowingly clicked on something, and it just took your computer down. And so we were just really trying to talk about good habits and things to get into, because these are new things for people.
A public service.
And I will interject, Joel was right. There are still browser vulnerabilities, and in fact, there's major ones this last week. But technology's moved along. Networks are better. Everyone's connected all the time. So that stuff just gets automatically updated, and most people don't have to realize about it. But same problems everyone had back then, they still have. But automation and stuff has gotten so much better that most people just don't realize it's happening behind the scenes anymore. So.
Yeah. Jeff, tell us a little bit about coming on board and what some of the early shows that you recall were like.
Well, it was kind of interesting being on board, because my boss just came up to me one day and said, you're doing this. Because originally he was kind of supposed to do this, and he decided, I'm going to delegate this to you, and that's kind of what happened, and kind of grew to love it over the time, because it was always interesting, especially the call and stuff. And we had, and one thing I do remember, because it was kind of interesting that about 50% of our questions were Mac and Apple related, and this was even before the iPhone and iPad. iPod was just starting to come out and stuff like that. So, but yeah, about 50% of our calls were Mac related. So there was a good balance there. Though, if you remember back in the day, Apple had a very minor share of the entire market. So it was kind of interesting on the audience that was listening and calling it. And we always had, almost always had callers, especially in the early days. We never kind of were lost, right, with sure. nobody calling in and stuff. So it was kind of a challenge, too, because you had to think on the fly.
Yeah.
You know, some of these problems can be quite complex, and they call in and ask, and you're trying to figure out, okay, and then how do I describe it for a person to actually be able to solve it on their own without tech backgrounds or tech knowledge, be able to, you know, all the acronyms and vocabulary we use in the tech industry kind of goes out the window then too. So it was a very interesting ride.
Yeah, that's something that stands out to me is sort of there's something beautiful and sort of innocent of that era of this call-in show. I remember being a guest for a while before Kent brought me on regularly, and we'd sit in SDN and you know, you'd see the little light beep on the dash and the caller would come in and Kent would flip them in. And of course it's live and they'd ask a question, sometimes a really smart question, sometimes a really basic question, but you'd have sort of this, and you know, this, you work in radio, but you'd have this sort of nonverbal, kind of look around the room. The four of us would sit in a circle and, you know, Jeff was in peer. It's like, who's going to take this one? Who's got it? Like, and you kind of raise your finger if you have a good answer. And I don't know, I just think there's something really nostalgic about somebody thinking, I have a question about my computer or my printer. I'm going to call into this show and hopefully get an answer in a world where now, you know, now we're already leaving, I'm going to Google it phase, and we're just going to go to, I'm going to ask ChatGPT. Like,
sure.
This era of, like, I'll go on live on the radio to ask a question.
Ask these people, yeah.
It's just, if someone 25 years old is listening, they just wouldn't even believe that used to happen.
Yeah. 1999, when it started, I would have had one of those Mac, I don't even remember what they were called, but they were like strawberry colored.
Like those egg-shaped ones.
Those egg-shaped ones were all in the bright candy
iMac,
colors.
I think those Jeff, were called.
What's that?
The iMac.
It was like an iMac. And Jeff Goldblum did the commercial, and the commercial was like, you take it out of the box, and you plug it in. That's it. You just plug it in. And I was like, sold.
That was like the first question Joel would ever ask anybody. What color is it?
Yeah,
because then he knew what operating system it was and how old it was and what capabilities were. It was crazy.
Mine was strawberry. So,
how many times, Kent, was the answer? Did you turn it off and turn it back on?
Yeah. Oh, there was a lot of that
when it comes to printers and just like, did you reset it?
I think Anne Lamott says that people are like that too. Is, you know, reboot.
Yeah,
just you always have to reboot your machines and your human beings.
Yeah,
still
love it.
Have you restarted it? Amos, tell me a little bit about some of your early memories of coming onto the show and dealing with, you know, the live call-in thing.
Yeah. So as Kent mentioned, it was part of SDN's relationship with SDPB.
Okay.
I was a new employee. I don't recall exactly when I started with Tech Radio, but I know I wasn't at SDN until 2002. So it had to be after that. So I missed the first couple of years, but SDN was willing to, you know, at that time we had to put in an ISDN line that was specific for connectivity in order to, you know, make the call quality good enough in order to be able to be put on the air. We had a tech that would come along and connect all of the systems. I remember it was a pretty amazing piece of technology in and of itself, just to do a live call-in show from within a random meeting room, right? And we did get all kinds of conversations for people who were calling in. Certainly there were more calls at the beginning than towards the end, but something that I still hear today from friends who were working at SDN or at least were listeners is, you know, we got calls about my remote control for my TV is not working. And so, you know, that was, that's one that I still get teased a bit about because we tried to help them. We asked questions and we, you know, of course, did you turn it off and turn it back on again? Did you remove the batteries and put them back in again? So we gave it a shot, but there were a lot of interesting calls and, you know, things have come along so far. You know, in preparation for this show today, I was trying to think back of the things that stood out to me. And the one that does, I remember, and I don't know if anybody remembers this prediction I made, but I was pretty convinced that when Twitter started, that it was going to be a short-lived, small flash in the pan that wasn't going anywhere. Right, because this was at the point where MySpace had come and gone, Facebook was pretty big, Twitter was just getting started. And I thought my prediction at the time, I remember, was Twitter will be gone within 2 years. And well, here we are now, and we've got Twitter and Threads and True Social and I forget the name of the other one, but there's lots of other similar ones to it as well. So
Amos, I can relate to that. If you go to the archives, one of my favorite episodes, we'd always do a tech predictions episode at the end of the year.
Nice.
There's two that stand out. We do the holiday gift one around November, which was always fun. And then the tech predictions, and you don't have to go too far back, but maybe 21, 22. I'm in the audio archives of saying that TikTok was gonna be ended, you know, because I knew that like there was gonna be eventually this political, you know, it's owned by China, and there was a lot of hubbub about what they may or may not be doing. And man, TikTok is just like a cat with nine lives; it won't die, you know. And I remember I was convinced it was gonna be done, and here we are; it's still thriving, as big as ever.
But both of you were right in a way. Both of you were identifying a flaw in the platform. It's just that flaw had to be addressed, you know.
Yeah,
Twitter
is gone. I would
and
say,
it has
yeah,
been,
to,
yeah,
to Amos's point, yeah. I don't know if he was terribly wrong. I mean, it just was later. Yeah, like Twitter does not look like the way it did when I really loved it.
But. Yeah, it's a totally different thing. Jeff, any predictions that you made that stand out that you were either like, hey, I was on top of that, or?
Well, there's one I was kind of right about, but I'm still amazed of how big it is today. Remember, we kind of started before there was anything even called streaming. I mean, there was real audio and real video, but they, you know, they were video files you'd play on your computer that were recorded kind of like your YouTube, but much, much lower quality. But streaming itself didn't exist. And then Twitch, first Justin TV, and then Twitch came along and kind of blew up and, you know, knit stuff. And I always kind of predicted, you know, I was always amazed why people would just pay that many hours and pay those people just to watch them play games when they could be playing their own, right? Mm-hmm. But between YouTube and Twitch and all that stuff, I mean, that is so major anymore, that live streaming stuff. It just every place, and everybody's doing it on every topic, on everything. It has just blown up incredibly. And I always knew it was going to kind of get big, but I still, you know, wonder why people spend that much time watching that kind of live streaming stuff when they could be doing it themselves. But that's just kind of me. So
Kent, any predictions? We'll take a break here in a minute, but any predictions that stand out that you or someone else made?
You know, I wasn't really into making predictions. I was trying to host this thing, and I was holding on with my fingernails. And I mean, I always, the other two shows, we mentioned the Guide to Geek Gifting, and we mentioned some of those things, the Christmas stuff, Black Friday. Mm-hmm. The other two that really stand out to me is anytime there was a Consumer Electronics Show, a CES, I knew we had basically fresh meat. We had stuff to talk about. We had technology to talk about. And then I don't know why I loved this, but SysAdmin Day was in July every year. And we do a kind of a big thing about SysAdmin Day. And I don't know if anybody else kind of
know what that is.
Got along with that. Yeah, it was, you know, so in the early days of technology, there were these people that drank Mountain Dew and ate Doritos and took and made sure that everything in the office was working, from your phone system to internet to whatever. There were these admins, and it was just a day of appreciation. And I don't remember exactly when that started, but
systems administrator.
Okay,
yep,
thank
yep,
you.
Yep. Yeah. So I just it was just one of those shows that I always look forward to.
I love that. All right, we
Which
are
happens,
remembering.
Happens to be July 31st this year, by the way. Keep that
to all who celebrate.
To all who celebrate. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more from the Tech Radio guys, Kent Osborne, Jeff Litterick, Amos Aesop, and John T. Meyer are with us. More in the moment after the break. You're on Listener Supported SDPB. You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Today we were spending the hour with our favorite tech masters. John T. Meyer is here in the Sioux Falls studio with me. We're connecting digitally with Amos Aesop and Jeff Litterick. And then we have Kent Osborne, SDPB's digital guru in Pierre. And we are doing a little reminiscing. And John T., you said something in the first segment about, you know, a quaintness or almost a, you know, an innocence. And I think about the pandemic kind of being a return to that, because I remember just having a whole question with all you guys as the host of In the Moment saying, how do I set up my home studio? What's the chair? I think Kent recommended like one of those plastic mats that you like roll your chair, which I still have.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't, this isn't set up. We were talking about ring lights. We were talking about, you know, so there was a sense then that we all went back to basics, or all of us who aren't super techie had to go back to basics. And we were calling a guy at that point. Like, if you got a gal,
yeah,
you're going to call him right now because you don't know how to do this. What do you remember about the pandemic and technology that you think is significant today?
I think technology in general is often, sometimes, usually the technology is ahead of the adoption, right? So like, I think this is true for AI today. Like, what AI is possible is that what it can possibly do is further along than how people have adopted it so far.
Okay.
And so typically I think we are slower to adopt, or the adoption curve, right? But what happened in the pandemic is it all just got pushed forward because now you didn't have a choice. Like, you had to figure out how to do video call. You had to figure out how to work at home. You had to figure out how to deal with the dog barking in the back, or also being a first grade teacher with your kids in the house. So I think that was an interesting time. I think, thankfully, what it did do is give everyone a little bit of grace too, where I think the quality of your video camera, or the how tuned in your audio was, like, it wasn't, I think people didn't care so much.
Yeah.
Like, our standards for what that, and then one thing that did too is I think that transitioned into social media too. Like, you see people on your Snapchats, TikToks, like, show up very like raw is sort of in vogue, right? Like, not everything has to be perfectly filtered and 4K video. And so I think that's how I think about the pandemic, is it forced a lot of adoption quicker than it would have it would have happened, but it happened a lot faster.
Yeah. Kent, what comes to mind for you for that time? Or we talked about Y2K pandemic or other times that stand out as sort of big sea changes in the industry and in our lives.
Well, a common theme around that time and even a little bit before that was online privacy some concerns with security and things. Yeah. And, you know, if we remember, you know, Zoom and trying to get people used to using that, and then there were people called bombing? They'd come in and just basically
Zoom
take
bomb,
over.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, from classrooms to whatever, people were doing bad things. So we were, again, trying to adapt technology to fix these problems. And thinking earlier than that, there were a lot of concerns about online privacy. People would go and punch their information in, and they get really freaked out about what they saw. There was a repository out there of all their data. And there was, I think people used to be a lot more concerned about it back then, or at least they wanted to talk about it and how to keep themselves out of the digital sphere.
Yeah.
So we'd spend a lot of time talking about stuff like that too.
Yeah. What can I opt into? What can I opt out of? And I always remember Joel for this, because he'd always be like, you know, it's all your information's out there. Like, he was very big on security, but he was also very good, I thought, at always reminding you that you live in the world that you live in.
Privacy doesn't exist. Yeah.
But in privacy, yeah. He was maybe a little casual about that in some ways. Like,
it's
right. This is, yeah. Amos, it seems like we're always trying to keep ahead of bad actors. How much has that been part of the show over the years of people either calling in and, you know, being worried about those things, or just you kind of sounding the warning bells or address the vulnerabilities?
Yeah, well, it certainly has been, especially, you know, the pandemic, like John and Kent both mentioned, drove that significantly, because now you're at home on your computer for, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours at a time. You are maybe using something that's provided by the office. Maybe you're using your own personal machine. Do you have the same security controls in place? Do you have, you know, a firewall like you do when you were in the office? Do you have other controls that are maybe, you know, a little more expensive than what the average home user? So we did talk a lot about what does it take to be secure in a home network. Mm. And that was everything from your network, your routers, your wireless access points, whether or not you should have specific pieces of software on your laptop or desktop or whatever it happened to be that you were using. There was a lot of conversation about that. And we mentioned it before, the idea that you do backups, and we talked about the 3-2-1 rule, 3 copies on 2 media with 1 being offline. We talked about other things too. We talked about, making sure that you're updating your computer when new security updates are out. And that was relevant for both Macs and PCs. A lot of people who are calling in and saying, you know, do I really need to do that right away? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes my machine down for an hour. And certainly things were a little bit different back then when some of those updates were long-term, took a while to get installed, et cetera. So that was one of the things that we tried to get across was security updates were important.
I feel like I learned that from this show. That was one of the things it took me a while to get.
I feel like those episodes would follow this circular narrative of we would say, okay, this thing exists. It's new, like this trend or this technology. Like, are you aware of it? Okay, now a couple things to be mindful of, like be careful and this can happen. And there are bad actors out there in this too. And then we'd usually come back around and land the plane at like, but we still think you should like explore and try and dip your toe in the water and don't be afraid of this. And, you know, I think we did a nice job. I'm proud of our ability to like make people aware and not scare them, but also still make them very aware of what's out there. And so I think the answer is not to put your head in the sand and pretend like technology hasn't changed.
Right.
But we wanted to always be a show that like let people know what how to approach it.
Yeah.
Jeff, I think one of those items I think one of those items too was, smart home technology really came into fruition while we were on the air. Mm. And one of the things that we talked about a lot was Alexa or Google or whatever device you happen to have. And just like you mentioned, John, this is out there. Is it weird that there's somebody, something listening to you and maybe processing everything and hearing everything that you say? But we always did bring it back around to, it's probably something that you should use and, you know, be careful with it and make sure that you're using it appropriately. But now it's not even a question. I mean, it's one of those things that everybody has these days, whether it's your phone or a specific device or on your PC or Mac or whatever it happens to be, it's everywhere. Yeah. Could be on your wrist at this point.
One of the things over the length of the show that I really found interesting and stuff is technology keeps increasing exponentially. The terms of power and functions and stuff, it's just like AI now, right? Everything gets better, faster, and it's in a rolling ball that just gets bigger and bigger and adds to itself on the technology side. I mean, we started at dial-up, and now we got 100 gig connections and stuff like that, AI, massive compute. My watch has more processing power than the Apollo moon lander did, or even my first computer I got back in 1983. But the issues stay the same. It's privacy, it's security. Stuff gets better and faster, but the underlying fundamental issues that we've talked about keep kind of rolling back around, and they're almost never changing, even in the face of really rapid technology changes. So I've always found that kind of interesting.
Were there times that you were stumped? Were there times that the questions were ahead of you and you couldn't help? Was there like radio silence where you just sat?
There were complex situations where we had to say, hey, send us your email address because we're going to talk about this and follow up on it. We did some pretty good show notes there for a while, and we'd research it and try to find it by that like that. But, you know, I'm just thinking back to one of the episodes. Guy was having memory problems. The computer wasn't booting up. It was giving some errors, and then it would say, okay, well, we're going to work, but we're not going to be able to use all the memory or whatever. And I think Jeff, tried his best. It could be this, or it could be this, or it could be this, or it could be this. And they're talking about, taking laptops apart and doing different stuff. And it was just like, holy mackerel. You're taking up most of an hour of a radio show about something that could be just about any piece of equipment in that laptop, and then talking about actually replacing it reseating it and doing this and all those other things. And so it's just, and there were probably times where we should have just stopped and moved on to something else. But, I guess I didn't.
I have I'm just a fan of media and sort of the history of media and how it grows and evolves. And so, I have very fond memories as a child on Saturdays going to soccer practice or soccer games in Brookings and listening to Car Talk with my dad in the radio. And listening to these two brothers like describe sounds, you know, describe the sound that your car is making right mm-hmm. now, and then they could they could literally diagnose based on the sound. And when I came in as a guest early on in this show, like listening to Jeff or Joel ask very similar type of questions about a computer or a printer, it just, I think it's very, I feel very nostalgic for that, and that the way they could diagnose someone's problem by asking like a, what's the light blinking, or what's the sound mm-hmm. that you're hearing, or, you know, what is the command that's saying, the error message say, you know, and then troubleshoot these problems over the air. I just think it's pretty cool, and I that was like a simple, there's some simplicity to that.
I love that.
Being on radio, and even back in the day with email being so simple, there was, you know, it was not like, well, take a screenshot or show me, or share your screen and let me see what you're seeing. You had to, the users had to describe what was going on, and you had to interpret through their point of view what they were seeing, and maybe were not seeing or not giving you that information because they didn't think it was important at the time, even though it might have been. So it was all through that caller's point of view, and you had to work through that, which made things a little bit more challenging.
So we called ourselves the computer guys, but there were times in our background where we had female participants. And what was amazing to me was it was this realization that a female caller would call in and ask a question, and I'd start going down this road, and they'd say, hey, I think what she meant was, and it was a completely different diagnosis for a completely different problem. And I'm like, I had to realize, like, hey, I'm looking at this from my point of view. Yeah. There are lots of other points of view. And that was, it was really great to have those contributors to be able to, you know, keep us on course.
Thank you so much. I have been so frustrated for 4 days. I just couldn't take it any longer. So much. I was just really hoping you guys would be on today. Bye-bye.
Yep. Have a great weekend. A nice extended 3-day weekend. What are you guys doing on Monday? Anything?
Working.
Backing up your hard drive?
Yeah, no.
I didn't really have the heart to tell her that, you know, iPad 3 is coming out in like 2 weeks.
We're going to take a quick break and come back. I've got a question I want to ask you after the break. But we are with Ken Osborne and John T. Meyer and Jeff Litterick and Amos Aesop here remembering tech radio as we look to the future more in the moment after the break. You're on Listener Supported SDPB. Listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. We are dedicating this hour to Tech Radio, a show that has been on SDPB's airwaves since 1999. Ken Osborne with SDPB was here from the beginning. He launched it. We have some of the core guests around the table with us across the state connected. Kent is in Vermilion. John T. Meyer is here with me in the studios in Sioux Falls. And Jeff Litterick is in Pier, and we're connecting with Amos Aesop digitally as well. One of the things that I love about this show, and that I have loved since I started here in 2015, which you were still hosting it then, Kent, and I wasn't in the room until a few years after that.
Right.
But it's intimidating to come in and be like, okay, I'm going to sort of guide the ship while these, you know, experts talk. But I just like hanging out with you. So I want to talk about that next, because there's a friendship that you had formed making this radio long before I came along that I think I benefited from. And that's one of my favorite things. I'm like your mom, Kent. Like half the time I've not known what you're talking about, and I'm the one who's going to ask maybe a basic question. Like, does that software update really matter? Do I have to do it right away? Like, that's me. Or I'll push back against, you know, your love of AI to say, well, what about this ethical, you know, conundrum that it brings up? But I'm always relaxed during these times because I just feel like I'm in such good hands and I'm among friends.
Yeah. When we pivoted, you know, from just being the car talk guys.
Yeah.
When we started talking about topics that we wanted to talk about, and we tried to keep it fun. And that was, you know, what I tried to do over those years and just have a good time, because that's, you know, you're just kind of joshing around with the guys, you know?
Yeah.
Joel Brovelite played trombone in my wedding since he is a trombone. And now whenever I see him, sometimes at Best Buy, he'll be there at the little Apple store there. And I think you're right, Lori, like coming to the show throughout the 2010s, you know, I brought a lot of the perspective on what was going on with social media and sort of entrepreneurship. And it just felt like for that hour that we would record, you knew it, you got to hang out with like your buddies, right? Like people who also, I think, you know, we watched the term geek or nerd almost become in vogue in the last, say, 10-15 years because of the rise of technology. And so now it was like, hey, this is our time to talk about stuff that we think is super cool that used to be nerdy and now is like cool. And so I thought it was just fun to hang out with these guys and people who knew stuff more than I did to just listen to them and learn from them. Was always a fun hour.
Yeah, technology got cool.
Yeah,
Amos.
Yeah, it's definitely been it's been a great long journey. I mean, these are folks that I probably would not have met before, right? We probably would not have crossed paths otherwise. It's been I also see Joel at Best Buy, so he runs the Mac area within Best Buy here in Sioux Falls. And so every time I'm in there, I look to see if he happens to be working that day. But, you know, does anybody recall when did we leave SDN? When did this become, we're out of the Sioux Falls studio? What year was that?
Do you remember when you guys opened downtown here?
Well, we would have gone to USF.
Oh, because we were at
first.
USF for a while. Yeah.
We would have gone to USF before.
Oh, I forgot about
the
USF.
Downtown studios.
I think I'd always try to, like, I borrowed a parking pass from a USF that I just kept in my car because parking at USF was always a little dicey when we'd go over there. We were there for several years. And that was fun, too, because there was the energy of the campus and the college kids are right there. And,
That was actually one of the reasons why, you know, I think it was such a good idea to build the studio, the Sioux Falls studios, because that energy, like, we need to create a space where people come in and then they leave the show and then they're out there talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I would watch that happen all the time as In the Moment host, well, as I was Dakota Midday host first and then In the Moment. But I would see this happening, like, I'd get done talking to John T, and then he'd go out and whoever was coming in. Sometimes we'd have a hard time getting them to come in and sit down for live radio because we're like, you know, we're starting right now. Like, oh, I need a couple minutes with, you know, this person so we could see those connections were being made.
Yeah.
And it was like, we need to have this community space.
I always knew we had about 6 minutes on the top for the commercials and the ads before I had to actually
underwriting
be plugged in.
We don't have ads. We have underwriting.
Sorry,
newscast. Yeah. Yes, exactly. You got a few minutes. Kent, do you remember when you moved out of SDN?
I don't, honestly. Yeah. Does everybody remember the vinegar guy, Lawrence Diggs?
Oh, yeah.
Lawrence was like a long-time listener, long-time caller kind of a guy. And he always had computer questions. And it was he was just this voice. You just knew who it was when he'd come on air. And the photographer Paul Horsted would call in occasionally, and because he always had hard drive questions and photos, and you know he was major user of technology at the time, and so I just remember back some of these reoccurring I can't say faces but voices reoccurring voices over the years and how we helped them and it was a fun time.
Jeff, how about you?
I kind of mentioned it before. I kind of grew to love the show and all the stuff. And it was really great to be, because we were all very passionate about the subjects and what we wanted to talk about and the information we wanted to give and, you know, help people and, you know, answer the, not only their questions, but when talking about topics, inform people and give them heads up on what they should be doing or not doing and stuff like that to help them out. So, you know, it's just, we've always been very passionate bunch. Everybody that's been on over the years has been really quite passionate about the subject matter and stuff, and I think that's really helped and kind of gelled everything together.
A quick question for John T before he has to step out, which is, when we think of what this was, all the iterations of tech radio, and you look at the media landscape today, what still applies?
Well, I think this idea of having people to look to that you can trust to distill and also sort of filter out what you need to care about, right? And I think that's still what media and news and journalism is in so many ways, because the world is noisy. The world is very increasingly so artificial. And there's a proliferation of media and content. Some of it's not even real. And that's not going to get that. That's only going to get worse. And so I think what the show is as relevant as ever in the sense of here's what's going on. Here are the facts. This is what you need to know. Over here is probably what you don't need to know. And I think that's how I think about this show, as it sounds like, as relevant as it was in 99 as it is in 2025.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that part is a sad thing to see it go from that standpoint. I think one thing I think about with technology, as much as I love it, is all of us are probably would be a little bit happier with a little less technology in our life. You know, mm-hmm. like when you can put your sure. phone away,
yeah. mm-hmm.
we know that the studies of science and happiness show that like when people can get outside and touch grass and be in nature, yeah. they might be able and spend time with people in person. We talked about trends in COVID. We talked about, you know, the world is lonely. Like getting away from technology is also important. And so I think what the show did so well was tell you the things you need to care about.
Let's talk off of what John T said, like in looking to the future. And my question was like, what is the future of this kind of show? Because, and we don't know, we might do something in the future. We might, you know, reimagine things. It's hard to say something's going away forever in this day and age. But Amos, let's start with you. Give me a little bit of an idea of what you think the future of this kind of programming would be, or this kind of conversation that is public. Is it in the podcast realm, in the broadcast realm? Is it done and all being taken care of by chatbots?
the actual medium or app or service or whatever it happens to be is probably unknown at this point. I mean, something is going to come along that we probably can't even dream of right now, that 5 years from now it's going to be ubiquitous and everybody talks about it. But I think there's always going to be availability for something like this. As John mentioned, it seems like the more progress we make, the more noise there is. And what is that noise that needs to be filtered? What are the things that matter when it comes to technology, when it comes to what's good and bad for you in the technology realm? I think there's always going to need to be somebody there to assist those who don't have the time, energy, or maybe understanding to wade through those topics themselves. So I think in some way, shape, or form, again, is it an app? Is it a, you know, whatever the next iteration of podcasts are, whatever the next iteration of video or audio streaming is, I think there will always be room for something like this.
Yeah. Jeff, thoughts on that? On the future of this kind of programming, or this kind of connecting with an audience who has questions and doubts about technology?
I have a couple of thoughts, and I always feel there's a place for human interaction, first of all, and a program like this for discussions, right? And maybe, you know, questions and answers, best move to AI on problem solving, stuff like that. But, you know, talking about fundamental issues and stuff and impacts on people's lives, I think should always be in kind of a human discussion. But I have the feeling a lot of this stuff is going to move to AI. And, you know, one of the things to discuss is AI is not always right, but as people become to trust it more and more, and it becomes easier and easier just to get quick answers. And even, you know, I'm interested in this little thing because I saw it in a video. I'll do a quick search. AI always pops up in Chrome and gives me a whole big kind of detailed answer. And I found a lot of errors in those things too. But I think that's what a lot of people are going to go to, is that kind of quick interaction with AI, in and out real quick, instead of having the deeper discussions, which I feel is really important. And it also shows like this and that kind of media gives history. These shows kind of ground something that you can go back in time and look and revisit and look at, you know, make an analysis of from then to now and stuff like that. That kind of deeper connections and discussions that you can only have in kind of a podcast or audio or video format. I think a lot of this stuff will go to streaming shows. There's a lot of on YouTube, especially on the security side, streaming shows that, you know, weekly news shows and stuff like that. And most of them are now on YouTube, live or recorded. So I have a feeling that's where it's going to go to. I'm just hoping AI doesn't dominate everything going forward, because it very well could.
Amos, there's something that, you know, as someone who's not, you know, who struggles with new technology often, it takes me a little longer to learn it. It's not my main focus in life. Everything in technology is a tool for something else I want to do, usually creatively. And, you know, any kind of glitch is just in my way, right? Like, I don't take a lot of pleasure in figuring out how to solve the problem. there are all these YouTube channels with, you know, manufacturers and companies and, you know, just regular people who will unbox something and show me how to work it. And I just can't stand them because it takes them so long to get to the question that I want to ask, because I just want to call Amos and ask him, or I just want to call Kent and ask him. I just still want to go to a person. Don't you think that there's, even though the information is out there, and what I'm wondering is, going back to this idea at the top of the hour where we talked about some of those questions are, you know, you maybe you're a little embarrassed because it's the answer is to change the batteries, right? But if you have somebody that you trust who tells you to change the batteries and who's not going to treat you like you're an idiot, I don't want to watch a, you know, 20-minute YouTube video and get to the fact that I didn't change the battery. I just want to call someone I know, and they're going to say, hey, did you reboot it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks. I always forget that. So there has to be a role for, you know, finding people that you can connect to that aren't just friends but that are professionals that you can bring your silly questions to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as you walked through that explanation, I was relating that to the AI chatbots that are out there that, you know, people now are not Googling stuff as much as they are using Perplexity to do their searching, because you get this response in a kind of a human format and a positive, reassuring atmosphere. You know, it starts with the very basics, and really that is part of it. But that's still daunting for a lot of people, and people are still scared of AI. People are still don't trust AI. People still have ideas, you know, about what bad things could come from that. So, you know, as more people grow up with technology, as they become, you know, as it's embedded in their psyche, because they've used it since they were a toddler, certainly there's going to be those, that generation who's going to be able to help the older generation. And I'm finding myself getting to that point. I'm asking my nephew to set up a new piece of technology that I happened to give for Christmas, right? Yeah. Even though that used to be what I would do back in the day. It was a VCR or whatever, sure, a camcorder, that sort of stuff. There will always be that need. And hopefully we've got a medium for being able to provide those sorts of things.
We all have nieces and nephews.
Right.
The kids of the future. Kent, final thoughts as we look at what is probably our last tech radio gathering?
You know, just listening to the Discord here, it's really come full circle, hasn't it? I'm the old guy now. You know, back in the day, I was helping the older generation because it was so new. A router in your house. I mean, nobody knew what that was. We were helping people understand technology. And now I need help with, like, how do I ask this chatbot? What prompt do I use to get it to tell me what I need to know? Yeah. And so I need to find those younger folks. And it's just we've really, really come full circle.
Amos Aesop is Chief Security Officer at Exigent Solutions in Sioux Falls. Jeff Litterick is a network and security architect for the state of South Dakota. Kent Osborne is Director of Digital at SDPB, and John T. Meyer is an entrepreneur and Executive Director of Leadership South Dakota. Here's thanks to our tech radio experts for sharing their knowledge, expertise, time, and even friendship with us over the years. That's our show for today. We hope that it served you. In the Moment is produced by R. Youngeman and Ellen Kester. For all of us at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.